Welcome to Kidman Talk, the show where the topic is always centered around Kidman, a.k.a. Children's Ministry. I'm your host, Carl Bastian, a.k.a. the Kidologist, the creator and founder of Kidology.org, one of the internet's first Kidman sites, and still one of the leading destinations for all things Kidman. Ideas, resources, jobs, conversation, links to other great websites, and now this weekly show. Everything we do revolves around our mission to equip and encourage those in children's ministry. Today's show is sponsored by the letter H and an awesome Christmas curriculum created by a children's pastor and Kidology board member, Dan Huffman. It's known as the Stars of Christmas, and we're going to try and get Dan on the show today to tell you a little bit about it. But right now, it is time to talk Kidman. Well, as Thanksgiving wraps up and December is just around the corner, it might be December for some of you by the time you are plugging this into your iPod or listening on the website, Christmas is here. You know the old song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas? Well, we all know it's been looking like Christmas since before Thanksgiving because, you know, the stores and everybody starts decorating and playing Christmas music even before Thanksgiving. But that's not so bad. I mean, it is the celebration of Jesus' birthday, so that's all right. In fact, you might remember the old song, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. No, I'm not going to sing it for you, but I am going to suggest a more modern version. Instead of singing, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, maybe we should all be singing, It's Time to Enter the Manger Zone. Sorry, I said I wouldn't sing. Angels in the sky say peace on earth, goodwill to men.
The manger zone.
Shepherds run to see the baby born in Bethlehem.
Manger zone.
Angels in the manger zone. Shepherds worship in the manger zone.
I'm gonna get the air guitar out. Manger zone.
In a humble stable, Christ was born for you and me.
Oh, yeah.
So we could rejoice with him for all eternity.
Now the kids just can't appreciate this.
Salvation in the manger zone.
The manger zone.
Jubilation in the manger zone.
All right, if you want to hear the rest of the song, you're just going to have to get the CD yourself.
That's from Creative Ministry Solutions RPM Christmas CD number one. But what I want to do right now is I want to call Dan Huffman, and I want you to learn a little bit about this Christmas in the Stars. I mean, Stars of Christmas. I'm trying to look up a number and dial and talk all at the same time, which requires much more talent than I have. But I'm going to call Dan here because Dan calls this curriculum teacher-driven, media-rich. And I want him to explain to you what he means by that, because there's a lot of DVD curriculums out there where the kids sit down and just look at a screen and the teachers check out and they just let the screen be the teacher. And but Dan's curriculum is not like that. It's a different, and I want him to explain that to you. So let's see, is he ringing here?
I am, I'm here.
Hey, you're there, you answered. You must have been
on the first ring.
You were right there. All right. Well, I was just talking to the microphone here. We're not actually live. I record these ahead of time so that I can, edit out, all my little mistakes and burps and everything. But what I was saying was that you call this Stars of Christmas that you created. Well, let me just say hello, Dan, first. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Carl. Good to talk with you.
Fantastic. And I just got to see you in person. I just was in Chicago for a Kidology board meeting with you and Gary and Todd conferenced in with my wife. And Steve Tanner was there, our webmaster. And he actually wants kudos for coming up with our H word for the podcast today. I've not revealed what that is yet, but he wanted credit. So I'm going to give him credit for that. It was great to see you. We ran out of time to record live there because we had so much great stuff to talk about at our board meeting. But it was great to see you. So now we're doing this by phone instead.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, I'm excited to make you your curriculum the sponsor for this podcast. It fits in great with what our theme is going to be for the letter H, which I've not said yet. I'm going to go ahead and say what it is. It's going to be the word holidays. Because kids live from holiday to holiday. I mean, it is just, they're always asking, what's the next holiday? My little boy, as soon as one holiday's over, he's asking, what's the next holiday? That's what he's excited about, and you're a dad. You got three, and they just live from holiday to holiday, right?
Yep, and they love the traditions, and yes. Holidays are very important to kids.
And their
memories.
Their birthdays and everything. And so at church, we need to capitalize on that. And sometimes we can start to dread them as adults. So it's like, oh, we got to go through all that again, and we got to pull out the tree again and all the decorations again. And we can start to dread them a little bit. But we have to kind of, that's where Kidology is about, the study of kids and seeing the world and life through the eyes of a child. We've got to not lose that perspective and not forget that they love that. I'm 42, so I've been through, over 40 of these Christmases, so it might get old to me. But if your kid's five, he's forgotten the first three. It's like his second Christmas, So if a kid's eight or nine, he's not had that many of them. So he's very excited about them. I'm very excited about your curriculum. You actually got to partner with Willow Creek and their whole production team and create this amazing curriculum. And as I was dialing, I was trying to talk and dial and look up your number all at the same time, and it was pretty bad. But I was saying that you call this teacher-driven, media-rich. Did I get that right?
Yep, you got it.
And I was trying to say that, a lot of people, and I'm one of those, don't really like DVD-driven curriculums, and I don't like the ones where it's, pop in the DVD, throw the kids in front of a screen, and then you can just check out and let the TV do the teaching. Because I believe kids sit in front of TVs enough all week long.
Yeah, they do.
You know what? When they're at church, let's put some human beings in front of them, and let's be relational. And let's pour into them. Yet at the same time, video and media can be very effective. I include a video component in Disciple Town, the curriculum that I write. I've looked on YouTube for funny video clips to enhance my lesson. So there's a place for media. I just don't want it to replace the teacher. And so I love what you've done with your Stars of Christmas. And so I'm going to shut up. I called you because I want you to explain what you mean by teacher-driven media rich and what makes your Stars of Christmas so unique, and how did you find that balance in how you created this curriculum?
Sure. Well, we believe kids learn best from a live teacher that knows their name, loves them, and we've seen that in our campuses. And so I want to say that teacher driven means the teacher is doing the teaching, but they, in their tool belt of tools to teach, they have video and media as some of those tools. But they never replace the teacher. All they do is set up the teacher, or they enhance what the teacher is doing. A lot of the Stars of Christmas, we'll just have some of the media is just a screen with a picture. And then the teacher uses that picture to engage the kids and talk about the lesson. The video piece, there is a live video piece that is very creative, and it's 10 minutes long, tops. And so when you look at our curriculum, it is very balanced. The small group time is three times the video content. The small group activities that we include in the curriculum are three times the media pieces of the curriculum. So the kids are learning from not just an upfront leader in a large group, but then we break them out into age-appropriate small groups, and they're doing small group activities that reinforce the lesson. And kids learn different ways. They have different styles of learning. Some learn best by moving. Some learn best by seeing. Some learn best by talking and discussing something. And so what we do is teach one thing, but we teach it multiple ways. But we also include worship, Christmas worship videos that are really fun to get the kids up and move. So this curriculum is very well balanced. It has everything in it. It's in a one DVD kit. You kind of plug it in and play. The DVD is there, but then you drive it, meaning it stops and waits for you until you're ready to move, and then it goes to the next section. A lot of times it's just providing a backdrop for you as you're teaching, but the teacher is teaching, not the video.
Well, and it helps, too, for people to understand the context of your ministry and why you create it this way. You're the children's pastor of a ministry that has 8 campuses, and each of those campuses has multiple services. And so you needed to create something that you could disperse to multiple churches with multiple services with volunteers of all different skill levels, you know, and different comfort levels in front of kids, and some with different confidence levels. And so by having that DVD curriculum kind of up on the screen, some are, you know, like us, man, they can jump in front of kids with nothing and they're confident. Others who were not as confident in front of kids, by having that video and that DVD up there and the kids' eyes were kind of up there, they could feel a little more secure to stand up there and say, kind of look at the screen, kids, and then but have that script and be able to follow along and ask, what did you think about the video? What do you think of that picture? Now break into small groups. And so it's scalable for a large ministry with multiple churches, multiple services, multiple campuses, but also just a smaller church with just one children's church, you know, could use it as well, right?
Yeah, yes, and our campuses, some of our campuses are large, you know, 500 kids a weekend, and some of them are very small. Some of them have, you know, 11 kids in a room, and so we did not want to do the push, play, and sit back and let our kids learn from a video. We just felt that was very cold and impersonal, and so we wanted to have a relational teachers. And we knew that we weren't going to be able to get teachers to dedicate hours upon hours every week building props and building, you know, coming up with creative lessons. And so what we decided to do is to package it all in a very easy-to-use format. We still require our teachers 45 minutes to an hour to prep. Make that lesson your own. Read through it. Understand the object lessons that are included in the creative teaching that you're going to be doing. Watch the videos ahead of time. Make sure that you understand how they point to the lesson key concept. And so there's preparation involved, but it is very, very effective. It moves fast. There's many transitions, and kids learn one thing, but they learn it many different ways.
That's cool. Now, how many weeks is the curriculum?
It's 4 weeks, but you can make it shorter. I would stick with the 4th week because it kind of wraps everything up, but each week could stand on its own as well. As a video piece, but we also make it fully customizable. We give you all the Word documents, we'll give you the video files, and if you want to make it your own, we invite you to do that.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'll let you get back to work. Thanks for telling us about it, and of course, we've got that available on Kidology if folks want to get that. It's not too late to incorporate that, and if they listen to this and there's not 4 weeks left before Christmas, they could drop one of the weeks and start it later or something. And or, of course, they could plan for next year as well. So
sounds great.
All right. Well, thanks, Dan, for putting all the time and creativity. And then you also have other curriculums and other things that follow the same format as well. If they happen to be listening to this and it's not Christmas time, and what are some of those other units that you've put together?
Well, I've got a 6-week series called Zap Pack that is just gives the basics of a Christian faith, and then there's a 4-week series called Jesus is Real that's awesome for Easter, but it can be used anytime.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dan, and thanks for giving us your time.
You're welcome, Carl. Anytime.
All right. Take it easy.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's Dan, and he is just a super creative guy, and he's a great friend. And everything he does is just top-notch, super quality. And his ministry, he calls it Tadpole Tales. And kids start out as little tadpoles spiritually, and we're trying to grow them and mature them so that they can become fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to try out his
curriculums and use them in your children's ministry because they're all top-notch stuff. But today, for our letter H, as I said with Dan, we're talking about holidays. Can be wise children's ministry workers, leaders, or volunteers if you make the most of holidays, because kids love holidays. Now, I've got to caution you, you don't need to kill yourself, you don't want to overdo it, but you need to make holidays special. Now, the first tip I can give you is you can team up with another ministry or another class and do some things together, combine your energies. That's always a smart thing to do. But number one, theme it up, all right? You gotta decorate for the holidays. I mean, kids love decorating. You should see my son. He's driving us crazy with decorating. I mean, he just wants to move the decorations around. We're having to set down rules, all right? These are daddy's decorations that cannot be moved. These are mommy's decorations that cannot be moved. These are the things that you're allowed to move around. What I finally did is I went to Costco and I bought him an 18-foot rope light that he's allowed to move around the house and string it anywhere he wants, and he loves this rope light. He's just so into decorating. But decorate your classroom, decorate your kids' church room, theme things up. I mean, when the first Chronicles of Narnia came out, I asked as many people as would be willing to donate or buy a Christmas tree for us, and we turned our entire children's church room into Narnia. I mean, I just put trees everywhere, put the fake snow stuff on the ground and a lamppost, and we just turned our children's church room into Narnia. And it was fantastic. And we taught one of the Narnia units. We've got three now available on Kidology. And we just turned our children's church into Narnia. And then we served Turkish Delight. And then we climaxed with the going to see the movie on a family night and having hot chocolate and everything. But when you just give into the theme and you decorate, the kids get so excited. Number two, you got to ramp it up. I mean, you've got to make those holidays the highlights of your calendar year. I mean, ministry is kind of like a roller coaster ride. Now, you already know that. But for kids, it's the high points of their year. It's like a roller coaster ride. Those high points are the holidays. I mean, and then it's kind of the valleys are the times between the holidays. Those are the ho-hum times of the year, and then it's just ratcheting up, click, 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 up to the next holiday, and then whee, it's Christmas, and then whee, it's, you know, birthdays, and whee, you know, it's Halloween, and it's Thanksgiving, and it's these times that they just love, all right? And so you've got to do the same thing. So teaching a special curriculum like the Stars of Christmas or these other Easter curriculums that come out. And Kidology is just a great place to find all these special curriculums that come out seasonally. And you can take a break from your regular thing that you do and teach these special curriculums and do something special. You know, if you can find a way to get kids into big church, either singing or presenting a poem or something, even just to highlight the kids in front of the adults during these seasonal times, dressing them up and presenting something so that the adults see them. And some churches will take a break from children's church and they'll have a family Sunday, and that's fine. That's a great idea. But if you do that, then still think of something else special that you can do, whether it's a special kids bulletin or a special family devotional kit that you put together so that the kids can do something at the home. Or if you take a break from children's church, then plan a family service on a Friday night, a special children's church for the whole family, and do a Christmas service that's not on Sunday. Do a Friday fun
family night that you plan during December, because some churches will take a break from children's church for the Christmas season, or whether you do a Christmas musical or a Christmas play or something like that. And one of my pet peeves are people who on the holidays will use as an excuse, well, attendance is down. You know, it's a patriotic weekend, or it's a Labor Day weekend, or it's Thanksgiving weekend, and you know, a lot of families travel, or it's spring break, and you know, 75% of the kids are going to be gone, and so we'll just pop in a movie, you know, or we'll just, you know, kind of not really do much because there's less kids there. I think that is nuts. If that's you, can I just like grab you by the sides of the head and shake you and knock that thinking out of your head? That is wrong thinking. All right. The way you should be thinking is that when you have less kids, that is an opportunity to do the great creative relational things that you can't do when you have a large group. There are wonderful things, games and teaching opportunities and relational things that you can't do when you have a large group. There are ideas and things that you think of that you go, man, that would be really great, but you know, I got too many kids for that. It would be chaotic. And I just can't facilitate that with a room full of 80 kids. If you know, if you've got a certain size room, or I can't do that with 500 kids, or I can't do that with 300 kids, whatever your ministry is. There are often ideas you come up with that you can't do because you have too many kids. So on that Sunday, when you've got 75% of your kids gone, you can do that idea. And too bad that most of your kids are going to miss out on that great idea. It's their loss that they went off to the beach, they went off to Disney World, and they went off, you know, to wherever they went off to. But lucky for those kids who got to be there. Because normally those kids who stayed, they're thinking, oh, poor us. We didn't get to go to Disney World. We didn't get to go to Florida. You know, we didn't get to go on all these great things. We're stuck here at church watching another, well, I was going to say VeggieTales, like VeggieTales is torture. VeggieTales is great. But they got stuck behind, you know, to watch an old, you know, McGee and Me, you know, video, or, you know, another Nest Entertainment video, you know, some video that just got stuck on the screen, and maybe you popped popcorn for them and made them some Kool-Aid or something. But they know that you're just passing a Sunday. What you're really passing is an opportunity to do something really fun with them, so that when all those masses of kids come back next Sunday to a great Sunday, those kids are going to say, you missed out, man. It was totally fun. You know, if you go on Kidology and you look at the Thanksgiving Pit idea that I have there, where I took the Parker Brothers game Pit and I created a Thanksgiving Pit, that was a game that I created because Thanksgiving was a down Sunday and I didn't have very many kids. So I created this really fun game where, you know, I had this whole room full of kids all yelling, you know, church, 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 car, 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 house, 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 all these things that they were commodities that they were trying to trade, that they were thankful for, and trying not to get the gimme, gimme, gimmies. And they were just bartering thankful commodities, trying not to get the greedy gimmies. And it was this hysterical, fun, you know, stock exchange game all about the theme of Thanksgiving. I couldn't do that when all my kids were there because it would be too big a game and it would be too crazy. But on that down week when I only had 30 or 40 kids, they loved playing Thanksgiving Pit. And I found out there were kids who ended up not wanting to leave because they knew that I did Thanksgiving Pit on Thanksgiving Sunday, and they would beg their parents to go on their Thanksgiving drive to grandma's. They wanted to go after church because they didn't want to miss that Thanksgiving Pit game because it was so fun. And kids' church would be in the gym on that Sunday, because I would do all these fun games on that Sunday that I wouldn't do on normal Sundays. So that Thanksgiving Sunday became a special Sunday because the lucky kids were the ones who didn't get to travel. And so on those down Sundays, do things that you can't normally do. So don't make it a bummer of a Sunday for the poor kids who didn't get to go somewhere cool. Make them the lucky kids who got to stay. So on those down Sundays, make them up Sundays. Bring in a magician, you know, bring in, you know, do a big puppet show, you know, make those, you know, rent, you know, a big jumpy thing. Not for the whole Sunday, still teach, still have a great lesson. But man, rent a, what do you call those machines that spin around and all the sticky pink stuff? What's that called? Cotton candy machine. Rent a cotton candy machine, you know, you know, rent in live animals, you know, and teach on Noah and the Ark. You know, get a camel there or something. Anyway, do something crazy that when the other kids come back, they're going to hear about it and go, man, I missed out on a great Sunday. Number three, on those holiday Sundays, it's a great opportunity to try a new or an experimental thing. You know, if there's some idea you have or something you want to try, but you're not really sure whether it'll go over or whether it will work, you can try it on a holiday Sunday because you have an excuse to try something new. You're just doing it for the holiday. If it completely flops, it doesn't matter because it was just something you did for the holiday. And if it ends up going great, then you can say, hey, that really weren't great. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, for example, one time I was really thinking that for Sunday school, I would like to start the classes all out together. It was something that when I was a kid we did, and all the classes started together and we all sang together. And then the kids, after just a 15-minute opening, all went to their classes. And I really liked that as a kid. I got to see all my friends, and then the teachers all kind of all stood around and we sang happy birthday to the birthday kids. And, you know, the offering was all done together. It was kind of like a little teeny children's church. And then they all went to the classes, and I kind of pitched it a couple times, and the teachers really didn't like it. The idea, it kind of went over like a lead balloon, but I really wanted to kind of try it. And so what I did is I waited till a Thanksgiving Sunday, and I said, you know what? For Thanksgiving, I'd like to start all the Sunday school classes out together in the kids' church room just for 15 minutes so that everybody can kind of share some Thanksgiving ideas. And, you know, we're going to just have a little mini Thanksgiving service, and then we'll disperse to our classes. And you know what? We did it just on the Thanksgiving Sunday, and everyone kind of experienced it. We did an opening prayer. A few people shared Thanksgiving testimonies. It was just 15 minutes. And then I had the kids all line up behind their teacher and then march out to their classrooms. And guess what? Everybody kind of thought it was cool. And the feedback was, you know, we really liked that. You know, we kind of got to have some unity and not just all feel like we're in our own little caves. And could we do that again? And we started doing it once a month. So every first Sunday of the month, we would all just meet in the kids' church room at the beginning of Sunday school. So my little holiday experiment became a regular thing. Not every Sunday, but once a month. So that doing an experiment on a holiday can be a way to experiment with things. Now, number four, what about recruiting on holiday weeks? That can be a real challenge. Well, there's a couple things. Number one, I would say, you know, when you do holiday things, don't do them yourself. Always form a special team to lead these efforts. And they don't have to be your regular team. You can actually form a new team just for these holidays. If you're going to do a Christmas thing or a Thanksgiving thing, start way in advance saying, man, I want to do something really fun for Christmas. And I'm looking for some people who love Christmas, who would love to really help me pull off blank Christmas thing, whether it's a Christmas party or whether it's a Christmas play, and form a team, and ideally form a chairman or a head of that team that's not you, and tell that person, I will resource you, I will help you, but don't be in charge. Put that other person in charge, and that will be such a blessing to you, because then you won't be the one who's pulling that off. And form that team to do it, whether it's Easter or whatever holiday it is. And that will be a huge blessing to you. Another thing you can do in the area of recruiting is give your regulars a week off. When it comes to Christmas or Thanksgiving, you can give all your regular volunteers a Sunday off. What a gift. What a blessing to them to give them the week off. And use that week as an opportunity to recruit other people to serve in the children's ministry. And it's a great way to get them in, because your pitch is, hey, I want to give all my regular volunteers a week off. They deserve it. They're in there week in and week out. And would you be willing to serve on this holiday week? Now, if you have multiple services, what you're asking them to do is go to one service and serve another service. And you know what? The great thing is they come in, a lot of them for the first time, they experience the children's ministry. They find out, hey, these little kids aren't little terrors. They're actually kind of sweet. They're actually kind of cute. You know what? It wasn't as bad as all the rumors I heard, you know, or nightmares that I had. And you know what? They get a taste of the kids' ministry. And if you bless their socks off, you give them a nice goodie bag, you give them a t-shirt, make them feel official. And at the end of the experience, you say, hey, you think you might want to do this again? They almost always say, yeah, this wasn't so bad. I can do this again. Boom, you got them. And so use it as a recruiting opportunity, plus a way to encourage and bless your current volunteers. So holidays are a great opportunity
to recruit new people. And also, I would really encourage you, put some money in your budget just to hire some talent. You know, if there are gospel magicians out there, there are clowns out there, there are chalk artists out there, there are people out there who their profession is coming in and just doing a wonderful job for your kids. I mean, there are Christian, like, mad scientists out there. There are all kinds of people out there who give wonderful programs for your kids. Take advantage of that. And a lot of them are not that expensive. And they will come in and they will just bless the socks off you and your kids and do a great program. And you can highlight that and feature it. And the kids will come. The families have a great time. Those volunteers who it's their first time coming in, they'll have a great experience. The kids will have a great memory. And you'll help support those folks who do this for a living. And a lot of them you'll have to book way in advance because holiday weekends, they get booked. I know when I used to do this, my Halloweens and Christmases could be booked up to a year in advance because those are the popular times. And but you plan ahead and you could book them. If you are someone who does this, and like I was a children's pastor who's also a magician and do balloons and stuff, you know, my church wouldn't pay me to do that because they'd go, why should we pay you? We already give you a salary. So you could swap with another church. And, you know, Jesus even said a prophet's without honor in his own town, right? But another church, hey, they think I'm great. And so you can trade with another church. You go to another children's pastor who also happens to be a magician and does balloons and does a great job. And you go to that other children's pastor director and you say, hey, how about I do your Christmas Advent program and you do my Christmas Advent program? They'll think you're great. Your guys will think I'm great. And you guys swap. Because, you know, after a while, your kids have heard all your jokes. They've seen all your puppets. They've seen all your tricks. You know, they're really not that impressed with you anymore. You know, let's face it. You know, you're kind of old bag of tricks at your church. So be creative and trade with somebody else. And you can hype your friend and say, you won't believe I got this friend who's coming and he's fantastic or she's great. And your church will get excited about the special guest. Their church will get excited about their special guest. And if you've got a budget and you both can pay each other, that'd be good for you. It'd be good for your friend. If you guys are tight and you don't have a budget, well, then you both just do it for each other for free. And you don't make any money, but you bless each other's churches. So that would be wonderful. And then look for talent in your church. You know, there may be somebody in your church who's just got a neat talent that they can come and share with your kids. And, you know, you can have people who have different skills and occupations to come and speak about what they do. And kids could be fascinated to learn about different occupations and different skills. And don't overlook these talents that are in your church and use them in your church and in your children's churches. And especially at the holidays, you can tap into those talents because they're sitting there right in the pews or in your more modern padded chairs. But recruiting is a great opportunity. It just takes a little advance effort and you can do it. And lastly, let me just say, at the holidays, you've got a lot of visitors. They come to church because it's just kind of ingrained in them that, you know what, it's a holiday. I think there's some religious connotation about this time of year, especially at Easter and at Christmas and even at Thanksgiving. People come to church. They bring their kids to church. And you know what? That's why you need to theme it and decorate it and ramp it up and try new things and be well recruited and bring in guests to speak, because you're going to have visitors. You need to notice them and you need to follow up with them. And follow up with them really well. Don't just send an email. I mean, it's worth the time to get in your car, take an entire day, and fill it with inflatable balloons and gift bags, and drive around to their houses. And they're not going to be home. No one's ever home. But if you just leave a package on the front door and ring the doorbell and leave a handwritten note or a creative little card that says, so glad you visited, just want to leave a little gift for your kids, that nobody does that. I mean, nobody does that, right? So when you do that, you're going to blow them away, that you actually got in your car, found their house, and you might think that's going to creep people out. It's not. It's going to bless them.
and you leave that on their door with some balloons or something. And then send a little creative packet in the mail. Not something that looks like mass market mailing. I mean, you make an envelope and you put some rubber stamps on there and you put some little creative things in there. You know, maybe these Disciple Land booklets that I talked about last week in there that have the gospel in it, and you put in some stickers and some bookmarkers, a little brochure about your children's ministry and a personal note, and you mail that packet out to the kid, addressed to the kid. They're going to love that. And then you call and you leave a message, because no one answers the phone either, right? And if they do, wonderful. You'll probably stutter. You'll be so shocked they answer the phone. But you just leave a message, and you leave your name. Don't say, this is the Bill's Church, you know. No, you say, my name's Pastor Carl. I'm the children's pastor over at such and such, and we're just so delighted that you came. We hope you had a great time. If you have any questions about the church, here's my number. You know, you can give the church number. You can leave your home number. Just be personable and follow up on those people. But make sure that you make holidays count. Build your holidays up. Make them exciting, and the kids will love it. Well, that is our letter H. Kidman Talk today was sponsored by the letter H and the Stars of Christmas. Now, that's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Next time is going to be the letter I. And remember, you can shape the show by guessing or suggesting what the letter I could be. I'll give you one hint. It's not iguanas. So email me at carl@kidmantalk.com. You can tweet to @KidmanTalk. You can post in the forum, but I want to hear from you. What are your holiday ideas on the forum? What crazy things have you done? What do you suggest? What letter I's do you suggest? I love hearing back from you about what you love about Kidman Talk, what you would like me to talk about, and it just is such an encouragement to me. Lastly, as I wrap up the show, it's time for me to drop a couple of names. This week I'm going to drop the name of two awesome children's pastors, two ladies, Kim Bob and Shelley Sexton. I want to hear from you. If you post anywhere, Twitter, the forum, email, or the comments on the show notes page, we'll be dropping something in the mail or by download, by email to you, just to appreciate all that you do for kids. Well, this is Carl. Until next time, when I'll be back to talk Kidmen with you.